So it's supposed to be Nancy today, and she's just got too much on her plate. So she asked me last week if I could fill in for her, and I said, okay. And then I saw what I got to teach on, which is Matthew 17. And so in the middle of the week, I go, thank you for making me study Matthew 17. You know, sometimes it's hard. Like, I sit down at my desk, and man, when you really take the time and sit before the Lord, the Bible becomes so alive. And you could go down 52 rabbit trails. You know, you just could go all over the place. So I'm going to try and do this in 30 minutes, and we'll see what happens. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time, and I thank you for these women who have carved out this time in their day just for you. And I pray, Lord, that you would meet them here, that they would see you high and lifted up and powerful and filled with glory, Lord, that our faith in you would be built as we study this chapter, that we would see you and that we would become stronger because we've seen you. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Our homework says a decisive shift had occurred in Jesus' ministry. His march to the cross had begun. He told them, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and pick up his cross and follow. He told them he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and be killed and raised from the dead. He said the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of the Father. And now they will begin to see with their own eyes what he was talking about in Matthew chapter 17. He knew what was ahead. So he grabbed his besties and went up on a mountain to pray and spend some quiet time alone with them. I like to do that too. There's women in this church that are my besties. And when I got to do something like a big women's retreat, I grab them. Help me, help me. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this story, and none of them were there. And John, he kind of describes it. In John 1, he said, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father. So even though he didn't necessarily include this story, John describes it. Let's start reading in Matthew 17, 1 through 13. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. And his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, and they were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, get up and don't be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell this vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is coming to suffer at their hands. And then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. This is the powerful mountain transfiguration. This is one of the most powerful stories in the whole New Testament. Jesus needed time alone with them to reveal himself to them. And you know what? To maintain a vital relationship with God, we must withdraw from the noisy crowd so that we can sense his presence and hear from him as well. Do not be afraid. He calls us out of the valley up to the mountain as well. And we listen and allow him to take us to higher places. Can I get an amen? Amen. Isn't that true, ladies? When you spend time alone with Jesus, in his presence, that's where hope comes from. We live in a fallen world. It's nuts. It's anxiety everywhere we look. Hope comes from him as he takes us to a higher place, just like he did these guys. Habakkuk 3:18 says, he makes my feet like hinds' feet, and he sets me upon high places. And sometimes I'll wake up and I'll just be miserable, probably because I ate something bad the night before. I'll just be miserable. And then I'll go, I don't want to read the Bible. I'm miserable. I'm just miserable. I'm just going to be miserable and feel sorry for myself. And then I would say, no, you're not me. You know, I talk to myself. Do you guys talk to yourselves? Oh, good. I say, no, Mief, you can't do this day without Jesus. Get in there at your desk and read your Bible. And then when I do, he pours himself into me. He pours his love, his mercy, his grace, his kindness, his hope. And I come out of that room a different person. If we want a real transforming relationship with God, we must retire, ascend to the mountain of the Lord, and seek things above. Like the disciples, he wants to show us his glory and give us sure-footed confidence in him. Doesn't that sound good? I read that somewhere. Sure-footed confidence, knowing that he is God. We are not. He is God and he is able to do abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or think, the Bible says. He wanted to give them sure-footed confidence in him for the road ahead. Jesus knew what was coming, and he knew they were going to be devastated. Psalm 26:8 says, I love the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells. And for me, his glory dwells in the back guest best bedroom of our house. That's where I go. That's the place where his glory dwells. That's where all my books are. That's where all my devotionals, my Bible, my pens, my markers, everything I need to spend time with Jesus is in that back bedroom. We cannot experience abundant life apart from his presence, because there isn't any there. There isn't any there. We're going to feel hopeless, discouraged, depressed, devastated, all the D words, the devil words, all the D devil words. We're going to feel all that if we're not spending time with Jesus. There is no abundant light apart from his abundant life apart from his presence, because there's none there. Jesus knew that this was going to be a miraculous, unbelievable story to tell. So he took with him Peter, James, and John. Deuteronomy 19:15 says, on the evidence of 2 to 3 witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. He's a smart man. He knew that everybody was going to question and didn't think that this didn't happen. So he made sure and took 2 to 3 witnesses so it would be confirmed as actual eyewitnesses of God's glory. Luke tells us they fell asleep. That I can't imagine that. I can't imagine the first 16 chapters of hanging out with Jesus and then him wanting to be alone with me and then me falling asleep. Because I think I'd be too hyper. I'd be like, oh, what's he going to do next? What kind of cool stuff is he going to do? But you know what I thought about? They were comfortable with him. They were his best friends. They felt loved by him. And they felt comfortable, so Luke says they fell asleep. And when they woke up, they saw Jesus in his glory talking with Moses and Elijah. Wow. Can you imagine? Being up on a mountain with Jesus, first of all, that's the coolest thing that could ever happen to you. And then you fall asleep because you're so loved and you feel so just comforted in his presence. And then you wake up and see him talking to Moses and Elijah. Oh my gosh. I remember when Larissa was dating James. This is 22 years ago or something now. She was just dating him, and she got invited to his parents' house up in Ontario, California. And so I was so excited for her because we thought he was wonderful, very godly man, and ooh, I hope she marries him, you know. And so she goes up with James to meet his parents. And when she comes home, I go, okay, I want to know all about his parents. Tell me, what were they like? Did they both love the Lord? Are they, you know, just what you would ask your daughter, right? She goes, I don't know, Mom, I fell asleep. that? I was like, you fell asleep? And she fell asleep on their couch. She went there, and she was just tired. And if you know Larissa, she is driven. She is Gary Lawton in female form. And she's driven. So she was probably carrying and spinning 15 plates while she was trying to, and going to Bible school and working and trying to date James. So anyway, I got to know them, and they are really wonderful people. But she was so comfortable, and I thought about that. I thought these guys were so comfortable with Jesus. They were just, there was his best buds, right? And they wake up, and there's Moses and Elijah. It says, his face shone like the sun, and his garments were as white as light. Luke said that he was actually glistening. Isn't that cool? 1 John 1:5 says, God is light. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, God dwells in light. And Psalm 104:2 says, God covers himself with light. So when Christ appears in the form of God, he appeared as light. John 1:5 says this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So he was the light of men. He was God in human form. The substance of his body remained the same, but his appearance was greatly altered. Christ was fully God and fully man. He was not turned into a spirit, but his body, which had appeared in weakness and dishonor, now appeared in power and glory. It was a moment in time. Philippians 2:7 says it like this. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. So he humbled himself and took on the appearance of a man. And now his besties are getting to see what's inside, what's really in him. Cool picture. I thought maybe it's like the saints of heaven hanging with the saints of earth, right? It gives us a little taste of what heaven would be like. Moses, Elijah, Peter, James, and John, a little taste of heaven. Moses and Elijah represented the law and the prophets, and God had used them mightily. They were the most powerful prophets of the Old Testament. But Hebrews 1:1 says that in these last days, God speaks to us through his Son. It's no longer a prophet. It's actually the Son of God who speaks to us. Later, Peter would try to describe what he saw in 2 Peter 1:16 through 18. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I like that. I like to think of him as being majestic. It's one of my favorite words about the Lord. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. God the Father, in all of his majesty, is speaking down to his Son. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven. Verse 5 says that a bright cloud overshadowed them. And Psalm 104, 1 through 3 says, you are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a cloak. You make the cloud your chariot. Isn't that cool? He rides on the clouds. No thunder, no lightning, no trumpet, no earthquake or fire this time. Only a voice out of a cloud. I wonder what that voice sounded like. Did you think about that? Psalm 29 gives us a really good description of what the voice of the Lord sounds like. It says this, the God of glory thunders. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It was so powerful, boom, right? They hit the ground. It's majestic. It breaks cedars. It hews out flames of fire and shakes the wilderness. Majestic glory interrupts Peter. I think that's funny too. You know, Peter's just chatting away, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, majestic glory speaks out of the heavens and says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Isn't that good? Oh, I just love it. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." The great gospel mystery was revealed. Remember in chapter 3 when Jesus was baptized, they saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And a voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So they had heard this before, and they were hearing it again, this voice from heaven. Ladies, your quiet time is not the end. It's just the beginning of your day. You are merely training your instrument to face the day as you listen to his voice, as you listen to him and be in tune with him for what he wants to accomplish with the people that he's given you in your life for that day. This was the best news that had come to earth since man's sin had made a separation between him and God. This was the Messiah that they had been waiting for all this time. Moses and Elijah were used as instruments of reconciliation. But Christ is the actual reconciliation of man with God. He is the Messiah. Jesus on the cross, he stood on the cross and he said, "It is finished. It's done. They're forgiven. Their sins have been paid for. It's over." The Messiah had come. Listen to him. And I just want to say that to you today. We have every word that Jesus said. We have it in front of us. And it's in red even, so we know which ones are his and which aren't. Right? Yeah. Listen to him. There could be no more powerful words, no more greater mentor you could ever find in all the world than Jesus Christ. He's the perfect mentor. I had no mentor once I became a Christian. All I did was read the Bible. And I learned how to be a mom. I learned how to be a wife. I learned how to be a good employee. I learned how to honor the Lord with my life. So listen to him, lady. Expect him to speak to you in the morning when you wake up, and you, even if you have work and you have only have or kids, even if you have 2 minutes, give him some time to speak into your life. In 2023, we need to hear his words. Colossians 1:19 through 20 says this: "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all of the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross." I'm going to read it one more time. It's really important. Through Jesus Christ, it was the Father's good pleasure for all of the fullness of God to dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Amen? We have peace with God. We are forgiven. Not perfect, but we are forgiven. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, "God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them." Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, that he is reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And it actually says, I think it's in the same place, that he has made us ministers of that reconciliation, that we're his ministers, to vessels of mercy, to tell other people about the love and forgiveness of God. Romans 5:8 says, "We are saved from the wrath of God through him," through Jesus. He is the one who, he is the awaited Messiah that would reconcile the world to God. The voice flattens them, and then Jesus touches them. I like that too. You know, that majestic voice from heaven scared the bejesus out of them, right? And so then Jesus comes over and he touches them and says, "Get up and don't be afraid." Moses is gone. Elijah is gone. The talking cloud is gone. But Jesus is still there. And you know, I was just telling Mary Ann that in 2021, the Lord asked me to retire. And so I retired, and then I said, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do with me, or not, I can be done too, but whatever you want to do with me, I want to be willing to do and go and speak and whatever you want me to do. And so I had just gotten a new Bible in 2021, and at the time, I was doing my Bible reading each morning, and I came to Matthew 17. And it was as if a cloud came into my bedroom, and this voice came from heaven and said, Meef, get up and do not be afraid. So I wrote it in 2021. I wrote it at the top of my new Bible because that was for me. Don't be afraid, Meef. Share me with anybody and everybody that will listen to you. So this verse means a lot to me. Jesus was still there. They would never be the same again. And you know, that's what happens to me when I spend time with him. I come out, I think I told you this before, but as I'm reading the Bible, he speaks to me. It's just so powerful that I just start kissing the Bible, which is really weird. But I'm just like, it feeds my soul. It goes somewhere way deeper than this. And I just love him so much for what he's done for me and that I have his words and I can read them. Okay. When you see Jesus, everything changes. You can't stay the same anymore. When you spend time with him and he speaks to you and you grab it and you hold on to it and you live by faith, you live with what he tells you, you can't stay the same anymore. I loved Marianne's quote last week. When you get alone with Jesus, he shows you who he is, and he shows you who you are. And it's a wonderful thing. It's not anything to be afraid of, ladies. He loves you more than anyone in the whole world. And he just wants you to become all, you reach your highest potential for the kingdom of God. And you know, when COVID hit, Gary came to me and he says, Meef, you need to make a video for the women's Bible study. And I went, no, I'm not. I don't know. I don't like used car salesmen, you know. And sometimes TV evangelists make me barf. And so I'm thinking, I am not going to be no stinking TV evangelist. I ain't doing that. Anyway, he asked me to pray about it. And so I did, and I made one video. And now, this is being videotaped every single week. Because Jesus said to me, Meef, get up and do not be afraid. What's he asking you to do? I didn't want to be videotaped. I just thought it would look weird. I would look weird, sound weird, and like the guys on TV. But I, you know what? I don't even care anymore. I think we're so close to the second coming of Jesus Christ that I don't care how I get the word out there. I say yes. Ooh. The touch of God often brings healing. But this time, it brought strength and courage. And maybe that's what you need today, strength and courage. They were scared to death. It says they were terrified. They didn't know what was going to happen next. So the touch of God often brings healing, but this time it brought strength and courage to face the days ahead. He touches them and raises them up with their fears. With their fears. They were afraid. And that's what he can do for us. He can touch us and raise us above our fears. Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is the fullness of joy. In his right hand are pleasures forever. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to let him touch you. Don't be afraid to come before him humbly and say, I don't want to be videotaped. You know, whatever it is he's asking you to do, don't be afraid. Go to him with whatever he's asking you to do. It was time to come down the mountain from the mountaintop experience. And Jesus tells them, don't tell anyone what you saw until I rise from the dead. Let's keep reading. Matthew 17:14-27. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and he's very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long will I put up with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we drive it out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Ladies, you should have that underlined in your Bible. Nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Once again, as we've seen in the previous chapters, a parent is begging for the healing for their child. And Jesus breaks the power of Satan, rebukes the demon, and it's gone. Just like that. I can't imagine getting to spend one day watching and listening to Jesus. These guys were blessed dudes to be eyewitnesses to all of this. And you know, one more thing I wanted to tell you was that my favorite girl in the Bible is Lydia. And the reason I like her was because the Bible says she was a seller of purple and was worshiping God and was listening. And I think sometimes we forget to do that. I think we go to God and we just want to tell him all the things that he needs to fix or all that we want or whatever. And so just remember that when you go before the Lord, make sure you're listening as well. And then the second part of that, it says she was a seller of purple and worshiping God, and she was listening. While she was worshiping God, she was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond. And so in your listening, when you're seeking the Lord, then pray to give the right response to whatever God is asking you to do. Jesus took care of the needs in front of him. He saw this boy that was demon-possessed, and boom, he touched him, and the demon was gone. And so we need to listen as well and have enough faith to do whatever God asks us to do, right? David Guzik said, "It is truly remarkable that Jesus was in some manner limited by their unbelief. As long as God chooses to work in concert with human agency, developing our ability to partner with him, our unbelief can and may hinder the work of God." That's just the truth. As long as he's working through, you know, these earthen vessels, we could hinder the work of God. And that scripture that says that he was not able to do much there because of their unbelief, that haunts me. I'm like, I want to be a woman of faith. I want to be somebody that believes God can do miracles. True faith always involves complete surrender to God's holy will first. True faith always involves complete surrender to God's holy will above our own first. He is God and we are not. It takes very little faith in God to accomplish great things. All the Father said to Jesus was, "Lord, have mercy on my son." And boom, the demon was gone. And you know, if you're married in this room, you know that marriage is not all cupcakes and butterflies, right? You guys have realized that by now, right? Yeah. So one time, after Gary and I had been married for 35 years, we had crazy lives, going different directions. And Gary came to me and he said, "Mief, I have an idea." He said, "You know what? Every time before we leave the house, let's just give each other a peck, a kiss on the lips, and say goodbye." That was, I don't know how many years ago, a long time ago. That one little act of faith has changed our marriage. That one tiny little act of faith, mine might be scared to be videotaped, but his was, "Go kiss your wife. Make sure you kiss your wife before you two leave the house." Has added so much dimension and love to our marriage. So don't be afraid. Whatever tiny little step of faith he's asking you to do, be willing to listen to him and do what he asks you to do. Often mountains are viewed as obstacles in the Bible. And Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you're going to say to this mountain, "Move over there." What obstacle do you have in your life right now? What are you facing that you think this is too big? It's too big for God. A little trust in God can move mountains. A tiny step in the right direction. You know, a cruise ship is steered by a tiny little rudder, right? And if you change the direction of that cruise ship just a tenth of an inch or something. It's going to end up in a completely different destination. So whatever relationship you're struggling in right now, whether it's your husband or a family member or a work, whatever it is, do what God asks you to do. Take that tiny little step of faith like Gary did. I mean, it really did. I mean, we've probably been doing that now for 20 years, kissing each other before we leave the house. And it's like putting love in the love bank so that when we get really mad at each other, it's okay. What if you gave God a chance and made room for him in whatever it is you're facing, that mountain that you see? What if you made room for him? Miracles are hidden in surrender and trust. What little step of faith could you take? How could you add faith? Just a little. You don't have to do big. You don't have to do big things. Little tiny things make a huge difference. What little step of faith could you take, and how could you add faith and join God in what he's trying to accomplish? I pray the Lord shows you. Jesus said in verse 20, if you have faith, nothing will be impossible to you. Do we believe that? I love that. I mean, I am blown away that I have the family that I have the husband, the kids that I grew up, the kids grew up in my house and they respect me. That still blows my mind because I still see myself as the sinner that I was before I met Jesus. Nothing will be impossible to you. In verses 22 to 27, Jesus tells them he will be delivered into the hands of men and they will kill him, but he will rise on the third day. And they came asking Peter, does your teacher pay temple tax? They were trying to catch him again. Technically, Jesus being God's son was exempt, but to avoid offense, he told Peter, go fishing. Gary's very, very, very favorite verse in the Bible. I went to him and I said, okay, I have to teach about the fish and how Jesus put the tax money in the fish's mouth, whatever. He goes, just tell him to go fishing. So, Matthew 17. Your homework was fantastic. I love what the Life Study Builders do. I think they do a fan. In fact, I am searching right now and have been for a little while for a study for us to do in the fall. And I am disappointed with all of it. I love the way our study builders write our homework. Every study that I look at has 11 to 16 pages of homework a week. And I'm like, what mom can do that? What young mom can do that? You know, so I nix it. No. Because I really feel like I feel like me and my board listen to the Lord. And the Lord says, you keep that homework simple for the baby that walks in off the street that she'd be able to do it if she came to this Bible study. The Lord gave me a long time ago the vision of the Hebrew women when they couldn't feed their babies. They would smash figs down, down, down until it was just pretty much just juice. And then they would put that on their breast and then they would put the baby and the baby would latch on. And so that's my vision for women's ministry. I want every baby that walks into this church to be able to latch on to the Word of God and be able to eat it and grow and become all God wants her to be. Okay, so three things I learned from these verses. Number one, Jesus wants to show us his glory. He wants to show us his glory in our own private time and personal devotions and give us sure-footed confidence in him for the road ahead. I don't know what's ahead of us. I don't think it looks real good, honestly, for America. So we need to have that sure-footed confidence in Jesus Christ. So keep a fresh vision of God's glory and don't be afraid. Number two, he is both the God of the mountaintop and the valley. Spend time alone with Jesus. Have mountaintop experiences and listen to what he says, like Lydia, and then come down into the valley and love people. Be vessels of his mercy. And number three, nothing is impossible with God. Make room for him. Miracles are hidden in surrender and trust. And lastly, go fishing. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for Matthew 17. Lord, you are our all in all. spending time with you, loving you, hearing you, understanding you, reading your words, reading your psalms, comforts our soul. It meets a need that nothing or no one else can meet. And so I thank you for Matthew 17, Lord, and the transfiguration. And I pray you bless the girls at their table in Jesus' name. Amen.